MZTV.
Let me see here. Paul's Gospel. Let me see here. Peter's Gospel, unlearned, unstable, not apprehending. Yeah, okay, I got it. Oh, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time it is where you are. I'm Martin Zender. This is MZTV. Peter was warning his own people, as I said yesterday, that... Wait a minute, I got to explain something to you. The reason my shirt is open is not because I'm trying to project any subliminal message here. I'm just missing the top button. And Juliana, my landlady, said that she would put another on there. It hasn't happened yet. So I just wanted to clarify that. So Peter's warning his fellow Jews not to twist Paul's letters, because they would do so to their own destruction, and they would only prove themselves to be unlearned and unstable. We must be stable in Paul's gospel, and we must be stable enough to recognize Peter's gospel. Interesting. Somebody said to me in light of the newsletter 2 weeks ago that, you know, not only are you protecting Paul's gospel, Zender, but you're protecting Peter's gospel too. Yeah, that I liked that, because I am protecting Peter's gospel. I am zealous for Israel to come into her own expectation. And I'm not going to try to force any Israelites into the body of Christ. And this is a trend today. People tend to say anyone who believes today is automatically in the body of Christ. Now, we may have some disagreements. I think I proved this case 2 weeks ago in my newsletter, Protecting Paul's Gospel, that even today in our era, this is the same era Paul spoke of in Romans 11, called the current era, there is a remnant according to the choice of grace of circumcision believers. Why? Because God uses the remnant, and Paul uses the remnant. The few people who still believe in the circumcision gospel uses that as proof that God has not thrust away his people. Here's the remnant. Here are a small group of people still believing in the circumcision gospel, because, remember, the accusation could be raised that God was done with Israel. That was a concern of many of the Romans, that because they got this transcendent grace, they got this spectacular new message, therefore God is done with Israel. Paul couldn't stand hearing that, and believe me, he was hearing it. He was hearing it, and the nations were becoming prudent in their own estimation. They were becoming wise in their own eyes by saying, well, we're the people now, I guess, too bad for Israel. Paul says, no, no, no. And he writes Romans 9, 10, and 11 to do away with this argument that God has thrust away his people. As if he's done with Israel, he's going to spiritually fulfill his promises in another people who are not Israelites. And somehow we're going to say that, yeah, that's the same as God fulfilling his promises to Israel. No, it's not. It's not the same at all. This ticked Paul off, and this ticks me off. I am zealous. You're right. I'm zealous for the circumcision gospel. I'm zealous to not put anybody in the circumcision and to force them into Paul's gospel. I tell you in this book that God gives certain people a certain antenna to hear a certain message. The circumcision message is broadcast on an FM bandwidth, wavelength. The uncircumcision on another wavelength. One's AM, one's FM. That's my analogy. And going back to the remnant, if Paul is putting forth the remnant as proof that God has not thrust away his people, and if Paul says this is how it is in the current era, then if we can show that the current era is still going on today, which it is, I prove that in my newsletter, Protecting Paul's Gospel, then therefore the circumcision evangel is legit today. Therefore, if someone totally bleeds for the circumcision, they love the circumcision, maybe they're meant for the circumcision. But certainly in Paul's day, certainly while Peter and Paul are alive, there were people legitimately believing in the circumcision. Who better than Peter himself? So there's no way I'm going to force Peter into the body of Christ. I'm not going to force him. I'm not going to say that his letters, 1st, 2nd Peter, are the same as Paul's letters. I'm not going to tell you that we can dip into Peter's letters as legitimately as Paul's to try to find details of our calling. Not going to tell you that, never will tell you that. And if I'm not going to do that with Peter's letters, I'm not going to do it with the letter of James, not going to do it with 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not going to do it with Jude, I'm not going to do it with the four accounts. Not going to do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not going to do it. I'm not going to force the body of Christ into the circumcision. I'm not going to tell you, am I? To start doing the law? To start doubting your salvation? To start waiting and watching lest you be left behind? Lest you be found ashamed? Found wanting? No, I'm not going to tell you that. But neither will I force a circumcision guy into Paul's gospel. Let them have their evangel. It's legit. It's crazy that in Peter's day, he had to convince his fellow Jews that Paul's gospel was legit. Today, I have to tell body of Christ people that Peter's gospel is legit. Even now, it can be believed. Certainly, it could be then when Peter and Paul sat at the same picnic table in Antioch. So what do we have that Paul has that Peter doesn't have? I left off in 2 Corinthians 12:11. I did not finish that verse. In fact, I left the critical part out of it because I was running out of time. Paul says, I have become imprudent. You compel me.
You bastards, you made me say this. I didn't want to.
That would be the sender paraphrase, but Paul didn't say that. I ought to be commended by you, but I am not deficient in anything pertaining to the paramount apostles, even if I am nothing. This is so good. Paul says, I am not deficient in anything pertaining to the paramount apostles, even though I'm nothing. In other words, Paul's saying, you're looking at me. You look at my life. You look at how I'm the refuse of all things. I have no reputation in the world. I come across to you, Paul says, like this humble guy. I'm all crediting Christ for everything which is true. Everything I have, I obtained from Jesus Christ. I'm walking around here in 10-year-old clothes. My sandals look like shit. I'm a tent maker for a living. Every city I go to, they want to stone me. I'm in dangers constantly. I have stripes on my back from the Jews and from the nations, and no doubt, it's no wonder, Paul, that you think I'm some kind of frickin' loser. But I got news for you, said Paul. I am, and at the same time, they're looking at the Jerusalem Ecclesia, which at the time was probably thriving. They were in headquarters. They were at headquarters, Jerusalem. And they were more respected, Peter was, than Paul. Because Peter had heard from the terrestrial Jesus, whom many people saw, but not many saw the celestial Jesus, not many saw the glorified Christ. So they're going on Paul's word. But you didn't have to take Peter's word because they were eyewitnesses. So he has much better time in Jerusalem, Peter does, than Paul. So poor Paul and even the nations were beginning to look askance at Paul. Like, oh, poor Paul, too bad you're not as great as those apostles in Jerusalem. God, you could be so great. They're so knowledgeable, Paul. They're over there reading the Old Testament every day. Paul couldn't take it anymore. Finally, couldn't take it anymore. Listen, heathen. I am not deficient in anything pertaining to the paramount apostles, even if I'm nothing. Even if you look at me and see a piece of shit, I am not deficient in knowledge. I could blow those guys away. If I wanted to march into Jerusalem, I could blow them away. This is why. No one on the face of the earth knew more about both evangels than Paul. No one on the face of the earth could explain the circumcision gospel better than Paul. If Peter and Paul had stood together at a podium, Peter himself would defer to Paul to explain the circumcision gospel, let alone his own. God, this... This guy, Paul, was so smart and so superior to any intellect of his day. But he was also so humble and so unassuming, so kind, so caring, that it would be easy to look at Paul and think, what a bumpkin. And Paul says, you've forced me to say this. I know more about Peter's evangel than even he knows. Of course, Peter was a frickin' fisherman while Saul was flying high in Judaism, studying every day at the feet of eminent teachers, the great Gamaliel. Paul was classically trained. Paul had a vast arsenal of knowledge that was based in both Judaism and the nations. He knew profane literature. He knew sacred literature. This guy was a frickin' genius. Paul was a freaking genius who was uncelebrated, unheralded. This guy, I contend to you, I know that the author is not noted, this guy wrote the book of Hebrews. This guy. This guy was the only one qualified to explain to the Jews what the hell happened to their gospel. What the hell happened to the kingdom? Where did it go? The only guy qualified to write Hebrews is Paul. Nobody knew more about it. And nobody could relate it so well and so intricately and so beautifully with his own evangel and what had happened to him. And our version of Hebrews is Romans, specifically Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is our version of the entire book of Hebrews. Paul tells us in one chapter what he spent 13, 14, whatever chapters to the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, explaining what has happened, how the eons have been adjusted. Paul uses that phrase in Hebrews, the eons have been adjusted to accommodate a declaration of God. What he's saying is that his gospel was unprophesied, unseen, unforetold, unheralded, and it becomes now a new message that exists while Israel is on hold, on the back burner, on hold. And of course, the nations think, oh, we're superior now, there's no more Israel. Paul says, no, 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 stop talking like that. You guys are crazy, you're wise in your own estimation, shut up. God's going to continue to do what he did with Israel. In fact, there's a remnant today, even. While you people are flying high, there's still a remnant. Right now, they're in Jerusalem. Peter's of that company. And today there's still a remnant because we're still in the current era that Paul talked about. For proof of that, go to my article called Protecting Paul's Gospel, CWTF, at martinfender.com. Have a nice weekend.